I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But what I have placed in God's hands, I still possess. No matter how old or young, or rich or poor you are, as a Christian, you have a call to spread the gospel. And that is ultimately one of the things you are here for. The problem is that sometimes along the line, many of us lose focus on what we're really here for. I see a lot of Christians today that get so focused on earthly things, on having the right house in the right neighborhood, having the right car. They get focused on stuff. And then we have people that get focused on school. I've got to have that A. You know, I'll study my algebra instead of my catechism lesson because the algebra lesson's more important. And they lose focus. But then, sometime along the way, we all start to feel a little guilty. And that's because there's a voice from Galilee that keeps calling to us. And we know that we're not doing what we could or what we should to reach out. So when we hear another sermon about evangelism, we immediately get a little uneasy in our seats, especially Lutherans. The ultimate question comes down to how. For Paul, the answer seemed rather simple. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So the remainder of Paul's life was spent on 3 or 4 missionary journeys, and it seemed that the Holy Spirit had a way of directing them where he wanted them to go. As can be seen in today's text, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having kept the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. But when they came to the borders of Mysia, and they tried to enter, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. That was when Paul had the vision of the man from Macedonia. And Luke writes, after Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. As an apostle, Paul somehow knew that this dream was from the Holy Spirit, and that he was supposed to go and preach in Macedonia. When we look at the story of Paul, it's easy to get romantic ideas as to the order of mission work. I need to be traveling overseas and preaching to do what we would consider real mission work. Or we think to ourselves, I should be knocking on doors and telling people about Christ. Or bringing it up to my neighbor today. We know we're here to share Christ, but a lot of times we don't do it. And when it comes down to it, what did Paul's specific call consist of? Paul had all kinds of plans. He envisioned going through Asia and visiting cities that he had visited previously, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. He wanted to go to Mysia, but the Holy Spirit said no. So where else could he go? He didn't know until a man from Macedonia simply appeared in his dream and begged him for help. With this one call from one man asking for help, Paul ended up going further away than he had ever intended. This was his call to evangelism, wasn't what he expected, and it's where the Holy Spirit sent him. You get a different vision of your call. It's not about going overseas, though it might be for some. It's not necessarily about even knocking on doors of people you don't know. The whole concept of the call, according to Paul's life, is just to be ready and willing for the call for help. And it will come if you look at our world today. People are in a lot of need of help. We have co-workers that don't know what it is like to live in a loving and committed relationship, and they'll ask for our advice. These are opportunities to do mission work. Instead of being so focused on what we want and our problems, it seems taking time to help in their crisis, and sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with them in the process. It means calling people when they're sick, calling on people when they're sick and asking to offering help. But when we get too busy to worry about other people's problems, we say to ourselves, they're a lost cause anyway. That's when we miss the call that God wants us to have. I remember when we were in the lay ministry program that there was a gentleman there. And one of the things that he used to say when people were getting a little too focused on themselves is he'd say, hey, remember, you have to be a friend to have a friend. And his focus was always reaching out, reaching out, reaching out. He never sat back and said, why aren't people coming to me? Why aren't people flocking to me? His focus was always, how do I get to them? And if you don't know anyone that needs help, then you go look for someone. Ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you know a needy person or not. Paul didn't know this Macedonian man, and it was only a dream, but he went anyway. Whether you know them or not, every person who doesn't know Christ needs to hear the word. They need to hear the word, but many of them don't know it. They think that they're where they should be right now. So they aren't looking for a calling for help. They aren't looking for a friend because they don't think they need it. But we do, because God says, how can they believe without someone preaching to them? So when we come to them, we can either pretend they're not there or we can dive in and try to help them. It's when that opportunity to help comes up that God wants us also to introduce them to our greatest help of times of trouble, Jesus Christ. How did Paul respond to his call? You know how I would have probably responded. God, you want me to cross this sea and go over to a country I've never been to just because this one guy is calling me in my sleep? I wanted to go visit the congregation. I wanted to go see how the people that I've already preached to are doing. I wanted to go to Asia. But this isn't what I had planned. And why do you want me to go way over to Macedonia? I probably would have dragged my feet and figured someone else could go help those Gentiles over there. But how did Paul respond? Since there was an obvious need and a door opening, with Luke and Barnabas by his side, after Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel there. And what happened? Luke says, from Troas they put out to sea and sailed straight for Macedonia, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. A combination of those words, sailed and straight, tell us that favorable winds helped them to get to their destinations. When these men went there where God was pointing them, they got there quickly. And God blessed their journey, unlike the flight of some of a people like Jonah. Philippi was known as the gateway to the east because of its location on the Ignatian Way, a road that linked Italy with Asia. It had many retired soldiers living in the city and not much of a Jewish population at all. There wasn't even a single synagogue there, so Paul didn't have a point of reference when he got there. But he didn't give up so easily. Since there was no synagogue, on the Sabbath he went outside the city gate to the river, where he expected to find people in prayer. And he sat down and he began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And here Paul had traveled all these miles, and all he found were a few women out by the river who happened to follow the God of the Jews, not knowing of the fulfillment of Christ, but these people were in still need of help. And so Paul began to speak to them. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and members of her household were baptized, she invited Paul to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. and she persuaded Paul and the others. And when Paul went into the open door, God blessed his message and says that the Lord opened her heart. Not only did God convert Lydia, but through baptism, he converted her whole family and opened up her doors for Paul, Barnabas, and Luke to stay for some time. And God blessed Paul's response to help with conversions. It's interesting to note how often God has done this throughout history. A gentleman named Edgar Honecke went to the hook of the Kafue River in northern Rhodesia in 1949, where he found some Africans who wanted to establish a church. He wasn't expecting that, but the door was open and he walked in. Today, 50 years later, by God's grace, 40,000 souls now belong to the Lutheran Church of Central Africa. My friends, I don't know what kind of doors will be open to us in the future. Like Paul, we can make plans for where we want to go. But we need to remember that what Solomon said in Proverbs, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." I don't know what kind of doors will be open, but God does. And God asks, are we willing to go? Jesus had one opportunity when the time was right to enter into mankind and save the world of lost sinners. He didn't hesitate. He didn't decide to stay in his comfort zone. Instead, he allowed his all-encompassing majesty to be confined to the womb of a virgin. After Jesus fulfilled God's law and the time was right to die for our sins, and when it came time to go to the cross, Jesus didn't back away. Riding in on the hatred of the Jews, Jesus took the opportunity to pay the sin for the sins of the world, and 3 days later, Jesus rose. As a result of this opportunistic person, we now have the free opportunity to enjoy peace, forgiveness, and eternal life in his bold blood and righteousness. This is what keeps us focused on our ultimate goal to help people, do what we can to spread the gospel. In light of this, don't say to yourself, I'll focus on God's word and church after I get out of school, after I get married, after I get that nice house I'm looking for. Don't think to yourself, I can teach my kid God's word after the house is clean. Don't say, I'll give more money to missions or after church. If you know someone that needs your help, which could open the door for giving them the gospel, don't wait for a better time. The priority for God's kingdom, God's mission, is now. People need our help, not later, but now. Sometimes you only get one chance. And if you wait and you hesitate, the chance is lost. Strike while the iron's hot and enter the door while it's open. When a knock comes to your door to help someone, how are you going to respond? Are you going to ignore their problems because your favorite TV show is on, or you don't want to get cold, or your supper's on the table? Are you going to go outside and watch what is going on, assuming you can't do anything? Or are you going to go out and get involved, trying to do what you can to help? We aren't helpless. We have a message that saves souls through the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. And we have a message to take to people to help save them from hell and let them help find eternal heaven. Don't assume you can't do anything. You are God's chosen representative in this world, and part of your stewardship is answering the call for help, no matter where it is from or where it may lead you. Amen.